This is the bad.
All right. Today I'm going to talk about freedom. Freedom. You know, it takes time to get there. It has a cost. But when you get it, you wonder what took you so long. I want to talk to you today about freedom. But I got to define freedom to you. You understand? A lot of people think freedom means doing what you want when you want. That's not freedom. Most of the time, that is bondage. Did you get that? Freedom is the name of this Bible study. Okay, how many people want to learn to be free? I do this all the time. I have a whole series on being free. Right, it's in the bookstore. Right here. But I'm going to call this one here, very simply, freedom. It's just another study of the Word of God that will bring home to you the truth. Okay? Freedom is a state of mind and a state of being. You know, if you've ever been blessed and been locked up, well, blessings come in all sizes, shapes, and colors. Amen? Sometimes you learn a lot more in places where you don't want to be than you'll ever learn in places where you think you want to be. Did you get that? You know, in the middle of your valley, you're going to learn more about God than you're ever going to learn on that mountaintop. When you're in a valley, you're very sincere in seeking the things of God. And if anybody knows, hey, I know. Amen? When you're in the middle of the valley, you can actually find out more about freedom than you can when you're on the mountaintop. Because when you're on the mountaintop, you think you're free. But you still might be bound up. Are you hearing me? I have met people in prison that are more free than people I see on the streets. Amen. That live in million-dollar houses. They walk around with a smile on their face. I don't even know where they learned to smile like that. It's like somebody froze a grin on their face. I'm an old scooter tramp, so I'm still learning how to smile, because if you ride motorcycles, you know, you don't smile a lot because you swallow bugs, and I've done that. And you get little black marks on your teeth, and I've done that. So you learn to walk around like this. Because you want to keep your mouth shut, because if you don't, you swallow and look, it's a bad thing. Amen? But I've been sitting in the middle of lockup where I've seen people that were totally free. In every way. You couldn't do nothing to them that could make them mad. I'm telling you. I mean, you can come up, sit there, look at them, call them whatever you want to. I mean, you know, assault them verbally. And they just smile at you. How many people know that persons that are always happy can be very irritating? Because you really want to be happy. You understand? But you just aren't there yet. But I'm telling you, you can be there. All right? And that's why I'm calling this freedom, and I'm giving definition. It's like, I'm going to start in Isaiah 40. Isaiah 40. Write these scriptures down for me, please. All right. It's in the Bible. I read it before. A couple times, maybe. I have a t-shirt with it on there. 40:31. You see, you got to get this. How many people want to be free and have freedom in their lives to soar? To really be all that you can be. I mean all that you can be. I don't mean all that you are. I mean all that you can be, because you're never going to be all that you can be without God in your life. Without God being master of your life. That's being free. To soar. You know, sometimes God will have things that happen in your life that when they're happening, you're sure it's the devil. And later on you look back. Why? Because it's your flesh and it's your desire. Right? You want what you want. But I'm going to tell you that this is the truest verse that I can find in the Bible to show the truth of freedom. Isaiah. I don't know if that's spelled right. Let me correct myself. Yay! There's hope for me. What's it say? It says in the Bible, it says, but those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. You know what? That sounds like freedom to me. You know, I was younger and I was dumber. And let me get this. You don't have to be young and dumb. I was young and dumb because I didn't know God. And because I didn't know God, I did a lot of stupid things in my life. But I had a lot of energy to do a lot of stupid things. Right? Now today, I feel better than I ever have in my life. And I'm 40 years old. Amen. And I'm 40 years old. Amen. And I feel better today than I ever have in my life. I am more focused. I have more energy. I have more drive and direction than ever before. And I'm here to tell you today that it got nothing to do with my physical, although I'm trying to work on that. It has everything to do with my submission to God. Did you get that? I said submission. But Dominic, you said you were going to talk about freedom. Yes! Your freedom comes in your submission to the truth that is God. God is the whole truth. Are you understanding? Are you starting to get there? Okay. I'm going to make a statement. All right. Freedom equals submission. To God. Alright? Now let me go a step further and I'm going to just make a little box here. I'm going to put it in red so you guys can look at it and know what I really think. Okay? Self-will leads to bondage, sin, and self-destruction. I hope you can read that. Probably not. Someday I'll learn how to write. God hasn't given me that gift yet. I haven't been praying for it either. I don't really like writing. I'd rather even type. So self-will leads to bondage, sin, and self-destruction. How many people acknowledge that? You think about it a minute. What would you do if you didn't know God? And then a lot of us can know because we did it. Right? Do you get this? What would you do if you didn't know God? Well, you would be in total bondage to your flesh. Right? You'd be seeking that temporary euphoria that only comes through the lust of the flesh. And you know, lust is not just sex, people. It can be drugs, alcohol. It can be just a determination to fulfill your desires above all. Amen? All that is bondage because in truth, you will find very little worth in your life living that way. Amen? Alright. So in Isaiah 40:31, freedom equals submission to God. It says, those who wait upon the Lord shall what? Renew their strength. How many people need a strength renewal? And we need a strength renewal. We need to be renewed, right? I'm telling you that we beat ourselves up so bad without God. When we need God, we need a total overhaul. Right? I mean a total overhaul. We need to be scrapped almost all the way down to nothing and start all over again. Because we're all screwed up. We've been doing what we wanted so long that, we don't even know right or wrong or anything anymore. We don't know good and bad. We just know that we do what we want and we kill ourselves while we're doing it. Alright? So it says that those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. But I want you to know that the key word in this is those who wait on the Lord. Everybody say, those who wait on the Lord. Are you waiting on the Lord? Those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. The problem is most Christians today don't wait on the Lord. Right? Oh, they do it for a while. They do that Christian thing for a while. They go to church for a while. They do this for a while. It's just like those exercise regimes. Right? You go to the gym for a while, and then you quit. Right? Or you decide that you're going to eat right for a while, and then you quit. Right? Most people are the same. People are so silly that they actually, their habits carry them through in every area of their life. Everything for a while. A short while, mostly. I'm going to try this for a while. Okay, that didn't work. I'm going to try this for a while. Okay, that didn't work. Okay, I'm going to try this for a while. That didn't work. Okay, I'm going to try something else. But you see, when it says that those who wait upon the Lord, that means that you got to wait all the while until the appointed time when God shows up. It means you're supposed to learn everything you're supposed to learn until the time when God says, okay, now I can use it. It means that you're supposed to let all the crap get washed out of your life by the Word of God. Amen? Are you getting this? And it doesn't happen overnight, but because, you know, it's like, I think I finally burned out on Burger King. Isn't that amazing? For me, it's amazing. I mean, that's like my biggest, you know, if I was going to go anywhere for years to eat a booger, I was going to Burger King. I don't know if it was the advertisement. I don't know what, but you know, I went on this diet now and I'm working out now. And now I think about a burger and stuff and I go, I think I finally burned out on it. Praise God. You know what I mean? I've been killing myself the slow way with Burger King, and you can see from my, whatever you want to call it, that I've absolutely abused myself. Alright? Because one of the last sins I'm working on in my life right now, and it won't be the last, I said one of the last, is gluttony. Right? Sitting down at the table and bellying up until the belly holds up the table, if you know what I mean. You understand? But you see, what I'm trying to tell you about God is that we need to come to a place where we wait upon the Lord. You understand? Where we wait upon the Lord until when? Until the appointed time. Right? And then, if you wait upon the Lord until the appointed time, if you take the teachings and the learnings that He wants to give you, then you will be free. And your freedom will not be to go do what you want to do, but your freedom will be to do the thing that you want to do now, which is serve God. Alright? Now let me explain something to you. You don't automatically want to just serve God. How many people ever got saved yet? How many in this room got saved? You saved, Mike? Okay, good. That's good news. For you especially. Amen? Okay, so you got saved. Did you wake up the next day and go, yeah, I'm going to go to church and serve God? No, you didn't. You got up the next day and went, oh, that was kind of neat. I wonder what that was. Remember? Because you didn't know God. You didn't know nothing about God. Did you get it? So what did you do? Well, if you weren't very cautious, you kind of went back and did the same thing you did the day you got saved. Right? So what you gotta do now, you see, is you gotta learn all about God and the things of God. Right? You've gotta get it inside of yourself, you've gotta walk it out, you gotta learn that discipline, you gotta learn a whole new life, so that you can have freedom in your life. And freedom is when you decide that you're gonna serve God with your life. Oh, it's quiet in this room. But I wanna tell you what freedom means. I told you that I'm 40 years old. Did you get that? Close enough anyway. And what happened was, it took me till I was about 40. You don't have to tell me how old I am. My wife's back there giving me hand signals. Like I forgot, you know. I didn't forget any of the money. But you see, what you got to do is get to the point where you grow up to where you can be free. Right now, let me just be honest with you. If you've done drugs, if you've done alcohol, if you've lived in the world, if you don't change everything in your life, you're going to go back. So where's your freedom? So the lie is that when you meet Christ, you're free. That's a lie. Do you understand that? That's a lie until you change your life and live for God. Right? Because if you walk out this door, most of you that are in this room that are with me, if you walk out this door right now, there's a really good chance you're going to go right back to where you started from. Why? Because you still are not wanting to live for God, or else you would stay here until you learned how to live for God. Does that make sense? Do you hear the difference? And then, you see, I can walk down and go to a party and not drink, not drug, be a light in darkness, and do that consistently. Why? Because I am free now, because I have made a decision, I've stepped over the line, I've learned what it meant to be free. And I will not give up my freedom for nothing. See, my freedom is more important to me than anything you can imagine. When I got saved, I couldn't figure out why I went to church and everybody was always messing around with each other all the time. Because I knew sin and sin and sin and sin. So if I was in lust all the time with other people in the church, then I'd be in sin and I wouldn't have the freedom that God wanted me to have. Now a lot of people in church haven't even got that far. So they're not walking the freedom that God would have them to be. They're still in bondage to their flesh. If you're still doing what your body wants you to do instead of what God wants you to do, you, sir, madam, are not free. Does that make sense? But that's why I'm trying to talk to you about freedom. Your freedom comes when you willingly and knowingly want to serve God. When every day you get up, you think and you imagine, and the desire of your heart is to do what God wants you to do. It is the renewing of the mind. And the new growth person, the new person that's grown, the new creation that's grown out of that 2 Corinthians 5:17 thing that makes you free. But a renewal, when they say renewal, what it means is it is a new thing coming, although it's not a new thing. And what I mean is that you are being renewed into a new creature, but not overnight do you just bang become one. Now I'm going to tell you there's a difference between being saved and freedom. How many people recognize that? How many people have been saved and lived in bondage anyway? Liars, keep your hands down. Amen? You see, you've got to get to a place where you understand what freedom means. Freedom means that because you desire your freedom over all things. How many people want to be free? I mean, you want to be free. What does that mean? That every day you get up, you feel good, you know you did what you were supposed to yesterday, and you can't wait for today. There's not a lot of people in this world that are free. There's not. There's not a lot of people in the church that are free. As a matter of fact, some people in the church are in more bondage than people in the street. Because they're living a dual life. Amen? And I don't know how they keep it straight. You know, when they're at church, they're Christians. And when they're in the job place, they're like everybody else. Well, I'm just trying to figure out, that's gotta be tough, where to draw that line. Okay, when I go to this street, bang, I'm a Christian again. But if I'm not to that street, bang, I can do what I want. Man, that's gotta be a tore up way to live. Where's the freedom in that? Do you understand what I'm saying? There is no freedom in a dual life. There is no freedom if you're always in conviction about your habits. Right? There is no freedom when every day you're on your face sitting there going, hey, God, I thought you were going to take this from me. But you won't do anything that'll change your life so He can take it from you. You know, a lot of people that have been dope fiends, they've told me, and I was a juicer, you know, and of course I did, well, heck, I did everything. But my favorite, of course, was whiskey. I like whiskey. So where did I go all the time? I'd want to quit drinking, but all my friends drank. Right? A lot of people want to quit doing drugs, but all their friends do drugs. Right? They move into neighborhoods where drugs and stuff are easily accessible. And they stay there and tell each other how much fun they're having. But are they having fun? Are you getting what I'm saying? You see, freedom comes when you make the decision no more. And then no more happens only when you make Jesus Lord in your life and live for God above all other things. And it doesn't happen overnight. Do you understand me? And it isn't going to happen in the first year. And it probably isn't going to happen in the second year. I'm going to tell you that God can deliver you right now. And I've seen it. And I've seen it dynamically demonstrated to me. I've seen Him just take people and absolutely just make them jump up with joy. And I also seen people a couple weeks later in the same place they were before God did that for them. What happened was, they wanted to be free, but they weren't willing to take the steps to keep their freedom. You understand? You tell me you want to be free, I'm going to tell you this right now. We're going to go to Romans 6. Romans 6. Romans 6. God, He's so good to me. You know, I just sit there and He's just been so good to me. I couldn't begin to tell you. He gave me a new life, new wife. I mean, you know, everything. You know what I mean? God is good. You understand? God is good. And that is the truth. He will take your little bit and give you much. You understand? I mean, He can take and heal you, body, soul, and mind. He can be the glue that puts everything back together. He can give you a mind if you ain't got one left. Amen? And I know that I was there. I needed me a new brain. He is the brain surgeon of all time. You've got to make a decision. Have you noticed in this room that everything I do is I tell you, you've got to make a decision. Do you know why I'm so much on you guys? Is because Jesus said when He hung on the cross, He said, "It is finished." What does that mean? He's done what He's supposed to do. Now it's up to you. The Bible says that my people perish for lack of knowledge. Amen. I'm here to tell you that in this place you get the knowledge, but you still got to make the decision to go along with the knowledge. Alright? What I'm going to do is I'm going to show you the truth of sin. Sin is a big deceiver. Amen? It appears to be fun, but in the end it's killing you. Alright? What you have to do right here, in order to get that, is you have to make a decision. I like all these colored pens. It makes me feel important. I'm getting a new board, too. It's the little things that make me happy. Decision time. Time for a decision. Amen? All right. Is it your time for a decision? Absolutely. All right? Now, the truth is, the way God built you that you cannot change is that you're going to be a slave to something. Did you get that? And God built you that way. You can't change that. God built you to be a servant. You can't change that. You cannot change the things God has ordained. You better get this. You cannot change the things that God has ordained. You cannot. It says in Romans chapter 6 that you got saved, right? You learned about sin, right? You learn the law. You learn what's right and what's wrong. Right? And the Holy Spirit brings conviction into your life when you're not doing right. You know when you're blowing it. You don't even need to look at the Bible. The Holy Spirit's sitting there telling you, "Hey! Get away from him! Get away from her! Get out of there!" Sometimes He screams at you and you ignore Him. How many people know what I'm talking about? How many ever had the Holy Spirit scream at them? I sure have. And I'm sitting there just, He screamed at me for a half a day once. I was bound and determined. I was vibrating. I was fighting it so bad. I'm going to do it anyway. Self-will. Amen. I don't care. I know it's wrong, but I'm going to do it anyway. How many people have ever said that? Liars, keep your hands down. I know we all have. We're all guilty. See, we're all the same. We're all guilty. We're all going to be something slaves. We're all going to be a vessel full of something. You better get over yourself. You better pour that junk out so God can pour it. Amen? It says, "What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound?" I love Christians. Well, we serve a merciful God. Well, you know what? The Bible says, check this scripture out. The Spirit of the Lord will not strive with you forever. Put that in your pipe and smoke it a while. What could it mean? Well, I don't like it. Whatever it means, it don't sound good. Because if the Spirit of the Lord is not striving with you, that means that you're in bad shape. Amen. And we'll figure out what the rest of that means when we go to glory. But I don't even like the way it sounds. Alright. It says, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Certainly not! How shall we who died to sin live any longer in it? That's a good question, isn't it? To live in sin is to live a lifestyle of it. Right? If you took your old man and nailed it to the cross with Jesus and rose again, how are you, if you are dead, going to live in sin? You think about that for a minute. I always wondered how it could be that everybody that threw themselves down at the altar about the same time as me could go do what they wanted to do, and I couldn't do it no more. How could that be? Because somebody died, and somebody faked it. Did you get that? I said, some people died, and some people faked it. Right? Just because you confess it doesn't mean it's true unless you believe it in your heart and your life changes. That's what makes it true. So it says, certainly not. How shall we who died to sin live any longer in it? I couldn't go out and do the things that I wanted to do no more. I mean, I struggled. I struggled in a lot of areas. I went through inner turmoil, but something had dynamically changed in my life. Something was not the same no more. It didn't work for me no more. I wanted to do things, and I didn't want to do things. I was tore up. You know what I mean? Okay. Or do you not know that as many as were baptized into Christ were baptized into His death? That saying, if you were baptized into Christ, if you did, you know, accept Him into your life, then something changed. And if nothing changed, I got bad news for you. You better start again. Right? Therefore, we were buried with Him through baptism into death. I want you to know that that death should be a living thing in you. Wow, that's like a contradiction in words. But it's true. That death that you felt that day should be living in you. And what I mean is you need to die daily. And you should have the will to die daily if indeed this thing happened in you. Does that make sense? When you blow it, man, you know, you gotta feel bad about it. Cause we're all gonna blow it. Now, don't get me wrong. We're gonna blow it. Okay? But you know what? It should tear you up to your inner core. And if it doesn't, then you know what? You need to really check yourself. You got problems. Amen? If you're not under conviction when you fall into sin, then I got some bad news for you. The place you think you're going is a lie. But let me tell you where you're really going. Because if you don't have conviction in your heart, you don't have the Spirit of the Lord alive in your heart, you are in bad shape. Did you get that? See, that death should be alive in you every day. Convicting you of the things that you should not ought to do. Amen? Alright. So it says, therefore we are buried with Him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead, by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. It says if these things are happening or have happened, then you are going to walk in a newness of life. Amen? For if we have been united together in the likeness of His death, certainly we also shall be in the likeness of His resurrection. What does that mean? When people hear us talk, when people see us walk, they sit there and notice that we are a peculiar people. Right? They notice it. They can see it. It is evident. No, I don't party no more, fool. I'm on the real high, not the cheap high. You understand? I mean, no, I ain't going with you over there. That's stupid, stupid. Check this out. I used to be stupid. And now I'm not very smart. But I'm smart enough to know that that's stupid. You know what I mean? I got very rude when I first got saved. I told people the truth. I offended people. And I wasn't right in offending people, but it was a dynamic change that I did not fully have control of yet. But I knew something had happened, and I took a stand. Bang! This is the line, and there it is. And, you know, I'm not going to go like this down the line, although once in a while I might flip for a minute, you know what I mean? But I no longer walk on either side. I walk on one side and sometimes make a mistake. Do you understand? And that's how a new life is. Your life has changed. The dynamics of your life has changed. The thoughts in that life have started to change. Right? It says, knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves of sin. You know what? I'm here to tell you today that you need to get free. You need to not be a slave to bondages in your life no more, nor thoughts. Some of the biggest bondages you have in your life is your stinking thinking. And what you need to do is you need to read the Word of God again and 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 again until you get douche, brother. I mean, you know, a regular dry cleaning place ain't going to work for us. We need to go get dumped in the ocean and soak it up and get thoroughly douched out before we think right. Amen? And that only happens in the Word of God. Right? So I'm just telling you that you need to get free, but there are steps that are going to take you into your freedom. And the truth is, the first thing you got to make a decision is, I ain't doing that no more. And mean it. With everything that is anything in your life. You know, people go, well, Donald, you don't understand. I've been an addict for 20 years. Who gives a rip? Save your sad excuses for some Sigmund Freudian somewhere. Somebody's going to listen to that crap instead of the Bible. God is the one that made everything. Sigmund Freud didn't make your brain. God did. Quit telling me what some thinking cokehead did years ago. I don't listen to him the street downtown. Why should I listen to a guy just because he was alive 100 years ago? Amen? It's like me going downtown and listening to some thinking rock star laying it on me. That'd be about stupid, wouldn't it? Why would I listen to some cheap imitation when I can listen to God Almighty, the Creator of the heavens and the earth, and know the truth? Did you get that? So the first thing you better understand is God made you, so quit thinking you know the truth and recognize that He knows the whole truth. Just because you don't accept it don't mean nothing. It don't make it any less true. Right? God says you need to renew your mind. Right? So what do you got to do? Renew your mind. Amen? Flush that trash out of you. Get rid of it. If you're still a slave to sin, then I got some bad news for you. You need to take the rest of the steps to get out of that place so you can walk in freedom. Amen? And basically, it's a decision. Time for a decision. Everybody say, time for a decision.
Time for a decision.
Say, time for a decision.
Time for a decision.
Do you understand what I'm saying? It's time for you to make a decision. You're sitting there, you walk here to the line, and you walk down here like this. Let me tell you, if you're a man or a woman, that's going to hurt you after a while. Because you're going to fall right down and split yourself right up the middle. Amen? You need to make a decision to be free. You need to make a decision to walk in freedom. You get it? It's your decision. Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, came down, hung on a tree for you. He did His job. He rose again. You can walk in His power. I said you can. But if you are still a slave to sin, then let me read the rest of the story. It says, for he who has died has been freed from sin. Why won't you die? That's the next question. Let me ask you that. If you want your freedom, then you gotta die, sucker. I'm not gonna play with you. I want you to get the truth. You got to die! You gotta die to your lust, You gotta die to your worldly girlfriend, your worldly boyfriend, you gotta die to your booze, your liquor, your cuss words, your very stinking thinking. You gotta crucify it. Put it to death so that you qualify yourself as one who has died. It is mandatory. You know, I still, when people disrespect me, want to slap them. You know what I mean? To this day, I'm not quite over that, but I don't slap them no more. Because I sure used to. Do you understand what I'm saying? And the truth is, it's all because I made a decision that I'm dead. So when my old man wants to rise up, I put a bullet in his head again. I may vibrate for a minute, twitch with the death throes, but in the end, I've made the decision that I am dead so that I can live. You hear me? Have you made a decision yet that you're going to die? Do you get it? You say you want your freedom, but you don't want to live in that freedom. You want to live in a lie. You're still lying to yourself. Time for a decision. You get it? Are you starting to understand the concept? You know, you sit there, I tell people all the time, he who speaks much sins much. But you won't shut up. Why? I didn't say that. God said that. Why do you think I'm telling you that? Some of you guys' biggest problems is you won't shut up. When you know you're supposed to shut up, you don't care. You haven't made the decision. Because if you don't make the decision, those things aren't going to happen in your life. Right? It's the same thing. It goes along with the same decision that I'm not going to slap anybody. I wasn't a big talker. I figured out a long time ago, those that talk the most do the least. So I became a listener. And then when I decided that talking was over, we got it. I'd be sitting there like this. Pop! Because I don't care about talk. And you know what? Talk is going to hurt you more. You need to learn how to walk. You need to make a decision, and you need to live with it. You understand? You need to make that decision and live with it. I don't know how many times I got to say it the same way. But if you want your freedom, then you got to die, sucker. You got to make the decision to die to who you used to be. There is no other way to walk in freedom. Otherwise, whatever little area of your life you won't give up will be the same thing that takes you down the tube one more time. You got to become a new creation in Christ, where old things have passed away, all things become new, and when you do that, you're going to walk in your freedom. Come on now. Shout me down. Call me a liar. It says the Spirit of the Lord will lead you into all truth. How many people feel the Spirit of the Lord? Amen. Telling you the truth right now. So you got pride issues, you got this issue, you got that issue. Get over it! Amen? Because if you don't, you're not going to truly die. And you're never going to know the freedom God wants to give you. Alright? Okay, let me go on. I'm kind of getting close. For he who has died has been freed from sin. If you die, you know what? It isn't easy, you know, and it's like walking a new life takes time. It's just like a baby. You know, I made a decision to become new. And everything irritated me. Everything bothered me. I couldn't do nothing right. How many people recognize that? It seems like I couldn't do nothing right. I was struggling all the time to do things right. I'm wobbling around, you know. I think I make a good decision and somebody comes up and says, man, you're way screwed up. What's wrong with you? You can't think like that no more. And they're going, but I'm trying to do good. But you see, you keep on that path where you're really seeking, and after a while, you really start to get to where you can crawl, and then you can start walking, and then you get to run. See, a lot of people here just think that one day they're going to get up and start running. It's not true. You got to start, when you make that decision, what's going to happen is there's going to be a lot of things in your life you got to identify and work through. Right? But that's, now I'm talking about, you guys told me you want to have freedom in your life, right? You want freedom in your life, right? That's what you told me. You said you want freedom, right? Well, are you willing to pay the price? And the price is the decision to die. You got to make the decision to die. And it is the decision that involves every area of your life. Right? The only thing that shouldn't change in you really is your personality type. Because God made also your personality. He doesn't want you to change your personality. He doesn't want you to become like Dominic. Hallelujah. You know what I mean? He doesn't want you to become like Graylin. Hallelujah. You understand? He made us all individuals because He has a purpose for us, and He gave us that personality to execute that purpose. So He's not trying to change your basic personality, the personality, right? He's getting you to change your value system and the way you live so that you can be used. Amen? Are you getting that? Okay, let me go. I'm almost done. I'm getting closer anyway. Is anybody getting anything out of this morning? You understand? Romans is a deep book, man, I'm telling you. And I could spend a year in Romans and never get everything out of it. And that's the truth. So when you get into Romans in your New Testament survey, pray a lot. Amen? It says, for he who has died has been freed from sin. So when you make the, because you're not going to die until you make the decision. Amen? So you got to make the decision to die, right? Now, if, I got a little circle on my if, right? If we died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with Him. Right? Because you're never going to make the decision to die unless you believe that you're going to get to live with Him. And when you get to appreciate that, that's when you're really going to make those steps. Knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, dies no more, death no longer has dominion over Him, or you if you die. So I don't care if I die. And I never really cared anyway, but especially now, even when I had punks sitting there telling me they're going to kill me, I just tell them, well, do whatever you got to do, but shut up and get out of my face. You know, I mean, don't threaten me. You know, I never was one that liked threatened. You know, if you're going to do something, just do it. Don't tell me what you're going to do. You're just trying to build up your cowardice into some kind of a whatever. You know what I mean? And so when people threatened my life after I got saved because I was doing right things, I just tell them, well, you know what? Then quit talking about it, just do it, or get out of my face. Right? Because this was not a nice neighborhood when I got here, and a lot of bad things were going on, and I had to do some confrontational things. And people threatened me. Well, I've been threatened all my life, you know. But I'm going to tell you that if you're alive in Christ, you don't care if you die. I mean, you don't have a death wish. You're not trying to go out and kill yourself. Right? That's the devil trying to rob you if you're thinking like that. The truth is, that you just don't care if you die, because if you die, you know it's to God. Whatever you do in your life is to God. So if you die, you just go to heaven. How could that be bad? Right? Okay. It says, knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, dies no more, death no longer has dominion over Him. For the death that He died to sin once for all, but the life that He lives to God. Likewise, you also reckon yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in the lust. And do not present your members as instruments of unrighteousness to sin, but present yourself to God as being alive from the dead, and your members as instruments for righteousness. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under the law, but under grace. What that means is if you do fall into sin for a moment, confess it, cover in the blood and get out of it. You don't got to go all the way down. Amen? It does not have the right to have dominion over your life no more. You are a blood-bought child of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And you don't have to let yourself go down the tubes if you fall and make a mistake. You get up, confess it, cover it in the blood, and get out of there. You got no business on the dark side no more. Everybody say, I got no business on the dark side. It cannot possess me no more. And that's a good word for those of you that have problems. Amen? All right. But God be thanked that though you were slaves of sin, yet you obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine to which you were delivered. And having been set free from sin, you became slaves of righteousness. Hello. Did you get that? You see, you are not going to be free to do what you want to do ever! Because you weren't sent here to do what you want to do. You were sent here on a mission. You were sent here on a mission. So if you do what you want to do, you're still going to be slaves to sin. Right? The only way you're going to have your freedom is to become a slave of righteousness. Are you getting that? I know it's offensive. I know it tears people up to hear it. I know they don't want to hear it. But come on now. Isn't it better to be a slave to the living God who wants nothing but blessing for you in your life, goodness and greatness and His righteousness and His glory in your life, than hanging on the pipe all your life? Shooting needles in your arms all your life. Drinking all your life. Going from relationship to relationship to relationship all your life. Going from job to job to job to job all your life. What are you really giving up? But you see, the lie is that you're going to get to do what you want to do. No! If you do what you want to do, you're going to be a slave to sin all your life. Man, it's quiet in here. See, I found out freedom! I'm free! I am free from all the things that were I was in bondage to. From the life I used to live. From the thinking. From the mind that hardly worked. Today, I am healthy and I am wealthy in God and I have freedom in my life. But I can't go do what I want to do. I've got to do what I'm supposed to do. Are you getting this? You know, here, you see the big lie. I'm telling you, I'm so sick of false doctrine of men. Oh, well, sir, you know, you just give your life to God, everything's going to be okay. Liars! Man, I went right into some of the worst things I've ever been through in my life when I got saved. I went through some of the worst scenarios. I had to clean up some issues that were terrible. But God walked me out of all those things. Amen? Because I hung on, and I hung on, and I hung on to His Word. And I knew that if I would believe Him above all things, if I would serve Him, if I would follow Him, someday I'd have real freedom in my life. And I knew if I let go and went back the other way, that I would be a slave to sin again in my life. And I knew that just like I know it for everybody in this room, because the Word of God tells you that you have no real choice. You are either going to be a slave to God or you're going to be a slave to sin. And if you do what you want to do, you're going to be a slave to sin. And you're never going to know glory of a great content in your life. Oh, that's quiet. I'm going to close for the first time. Okay. I want you to get a hold of this. I really want you to get... Is everybody seeing where I'm going? You know what? You know what? They wrote the Bible so that we can do great things for God, not so we can be great. Did you get that? I mean, you know, God will bless us in accordance with our works, but it's not about us, it's about Him. You see, God nowhere in the Bible tells you anything about doing things for yourself. He said, serve me, follow me. I'll take care of you. You just get on the path. Right, you follow me. He doesn't tell you He's going to give you a Rolls Royce. He doesn't tell you He's going to give you a mansion on the hill. He might. If you use it correctly, He probably will. I don't know. I don't care about that stuff myself. I care about soul, people. Soul, people meeting the Lord. Amen? But you got to get a hold of this. You have here two choices that you make. That's why I left it just like that. There is a time of decision. Right? Okay, and this was Romans 6, right? And you can read the rest of it at your discretion. You have a choice. You see, and I want you to be sure you understand this. You're not making a choice as a choice. You will either serve God with your life. Did you get that? Or you will serve sin. Those are your two choices. There are no others. You will either, and I'm going to be very, very much so, I'm going to hurt you with this. You are going to be God's slave. Right? Or you're going to be the devil's slave. Period. It's a hard thing. How many people know that it's a hard thing to look at this? But I'm telling you, it's the truth. You're either going to be a slave to sin, or you're going to do what God wants you to do, right? And have freedom. Your freedom is not in doing what you want to do. Your freedom comes in serving the Lord. I'm telling you today, right now, for years, I say this all the time, that freedom is over here. This is the only place you can be free. But it doesn't happen overnight. It doesn't just arrive. It's not like one day you wake up and you're free. I had to go through a lot of things. It's like I tell you all the time in this room, and I mean it. I worked for 4.5 years, whatever it was, for free. I didn't make a dime. I made 20 bucks here, 20 bucks. People blessed me. Had to get shoes. Had to, when people see my pants falling off, they get me a pair of pants. They were so good to me. You understand? And all the time I was on my face telling God, 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 why, God, God. Because I was in full-time ministry, people. Do you understand? I mean, I was in full-time ministry. And what I mean is just what I said. Is I was in full-time ministry. I had responsibilities. I had all these things. I had a workshop I had to go through. And my workshop was dying to myself in every way. Because I always had money. Money was not a big deal to me. I mean, I had it. Money was just something you get. I always had money. So the Lord had to show me I can't depend on myself no more. I have to learn to depend on Him. So in that time, I went all the way broke, and I stayed that way for a long time. And remember I told you in the beginning that in your valleys is when you really seek God. And God had me in that place, and I praise you, Lord, for it. That He kept me right there underneath His thumb for those years so that I would really seek and find the truth that He had for me. And if I would not have spent that time, I would not have been able to accept any of these things, because this is the whole truth. If you want to be free, if you want freedom in your life, if that's what you're seeking in your life, there's only one way. And that's serve God. Now, on one side, you go on and you get a job and you make a lot of money and you just spend all your time at the office or all your time on the job site, and what do you get? A paycheck. Right? And that paycheck doesn't bring you happiness, although you might buy a new car, a new house, a new this or that. That don't mean you're happy. I assure you that some of the richest people in the world you're ever going to meet are also some of the most miserable. Amen? Because they worry more about people taking their money than anything else. That ain't no kind of thinking mind. Amen? I mean, I want to try it once just to see if it's true, but... But the Lord knows that I would just take and give it all to Him and His ministry anyway. Because that's my life and that's what I do. But I'm sitting here telling you right now that you know what? People, you have got to make a decision. It's time for a decision. Do you want to live in bondage all your life? Or do you want to have freedom in your life? And it says those who wait upon the Lord will soar. You see, today I'm soaring. Listen. I told you my sad story. I lost everything. I lost everything. I just gave it away after a while. In that time, if you don't have no money, you don't hang on anything. Yeah, hello. Right? And when my wife met me, silly girl, I had nothing. And she married me anyway because she decided to serve the Lord. Are you hearing me? I had nothing. I had zero. I had less than nothing. 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 But since then, God has taken and sovereignly reached down to us and picked us up and brushed off the dust and the dirt from the places we had to go through to get here. And He sent us to this place. And you know, I still don't own my own car, really. What we did, we bought that van. But it's a 15-passenger van. It's not very nice, but it's nice. I get to haul what in it? People. Because my life is about what? People. I had to learn that, right? That was something I had to learn. It's not about me or I. It's about people. And he sat there, and we start out in a little room about this big on this campus, about this big. Well, that might be a little exaggeration. It was big enough for both of us. It was about this big. Anyway, and we got a little room, and then we got two rooms, all right? And then we got a mansion to me. They gave us the third story of this place. It's a bunch of rooms put together. It's huge. And we got a view of downtown L.A., and we got a view of Hollywood Hills, and we live like kings and queens in a castle. But it's not ours. You understand? And everything that's in there, we got donations, acquisitions. Rebecca helped us out. We got furniture. It's beautiful up there. But it's not ours. You understand? It's God's. And those are the blessings that God gives you when you decide to follow Him. He takes care of you like kings and queens. Amen? You don't got to worry no more about all the stuff you worry about. My wife will ask me sometimes, she'll go, well, aren't you worried? No. Why not? Because my God is going to take care of me because I serve Him. He is a God that takes care of His children and take care of Him. I'm telling you today that if I need something, I know I can go to my prayer closet, I can pray, I can believe God for it, and in His time He brings it. You see, I no longer have any worries. And I don't care about what's going on outside in the world because that doesn't mean nothing to me. I came here to change the world. The world's not going to change me. I don't care about Y2K at all. If the whole stinking thing falls apart, then glory. I'm going to be a big-time evangelist. You know what I mean? I'm going to be on the street every day, and I'm going to be witnessing to people, and I'm going to tell them the truth, and they're going to get saved. And if that's what God decides He wants to do with this world, I'm okay with that. Because I'm not in charge. God is in charge. Why? Because I'm His servant. He's not my servant. And when you accept your role that God has assigned you to play, and you accept it and get comfortable with it, you're going to have freedom in your life to smile and be happy and not worry no more. And life is going to get good, just like God always meant it to be. But when you got to do this and you got to do that and you got to make your own decisions and you do what you want, you know what? I'm here to tell you right now that when you serve yourself, you serve sin and you become the devil's slave. But if you choose to serve God, then you are going to have freedom in your life. Next year, I've already been invited. Me and my wife are going to Europe. We're probably going to go for a month. Can I afford it? No, of course not. I don't got no money. But the church, the people are going to pay for us to come. You understand? I'm going to get to go free to Europe on God. Why? Because He takes care of His kids. I mean, what could be better than that? What kind of a life could be better than that? What kind of living? What do you got that is better than what I'm talking about? What do you possess that would be worth more to your personal life than what I'm talking about? What is it that you're hanging on to today that is holding you back from the freedom that God wants to give you? What do you think you have that compares to the life I just explained? Do you understand? See, your freedom, that soaring like an eagle, comes in being a servant to the living God. There is no other way. If you choose to do what you want, you'll get to heaven. But you know what? You're not going to get the blessings that God wants to give you. Amen? I want to soar. I want to fly. Someday, I'm praying that the Lord let me fly in one of those planes that goes supersonic speed. What do they call those things? Yeah, wouldn't that be cool? I mean, just hop in there and bang, supersonic. Never done that before. I'm going to believe God for that, and I assure you it's going to happen. It doesn't mean I got to own it, although if He wants to give it to me, I'm okay with that. Do you understand? You see, I have that childlike faith. I have that childlike life. I live that life that's full of expectation. Every day is an adventure for me. And He takes care of everything. What do you have that you're hanging on to that holds you back from that kind of life? Do yourself a favor. die so that you might really live. Amen. Father, I love you, God. Let it be today that each person in this room gets this, that they just absolutely decide today, God, that they want to be having this freedom in their life. Because, Lord, it is something you would choose for all of us. God, you are so good to me. And, God, I know you want to be so good to us all. Help us this day to be all that we can be. In Jesus' name I pray. Everyone said,
Amen.
Amen.